People were flocking out to see John the Baptist at the Jordan River. And it's kind of an unusual thing. John delivered such a powerful message, but it was a challenging message. It was something that was probably very hard for a lot of people to hear, and yet people came. I think it must be part of the same reason that people would go on the television show The Biggest Loser. You know, they knew hard work was ahead, but it was good news because finally they were taking steps in their life to do something that they'd known for a while they needed to do. So all these people are flocking to John, and John can tell that there's people in the crowd that are really taking it in. There are people who are really absorbing what he's saying, and that they're prepared to repent. They're prepared to make some changes in their life that they can know God better and be more loving and more able to receive love from those around them. And then he sees the Pharisees and the Sadducees who had come from Jerusalem, the religious officials of his day. And he can tell that they're not absorbing, they're observing. And he can tell that they're not there to receive something. They're there with a defensive posture. They're there to build a case. They're there to check him out. About 20 years ago, I helped with a retreat. We brought in Father Daniel Berrigan, who's a Jesuit priest, very controversial and very radical views about nonviolence, Catholic nonviolence, and war. And at the time, he was quite controversial. We had about 250 people at this retreat house in the desert. And the second day of the retreat, the vicar general for the diocese shows up and sits in on the talks. And he kind of sat through the talks, and then he stayed for lunch, and then the next talk. And as he was leaving that evening, I said, "How nice that you came to see Father Berrigan." And he looked at me, because it was a totally naive thing for me to say. He said, "Actually, I came to see who came to see Father Berrigan." Said, "But I ended up really enjoying the day, and I'm glad I came." So even he was able to absorb something. Not with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. "You brood of vipers," John calls them. And they must have protested something. "Not, we're not brood of vipers." And he says, "Well, prove yourselves. Produce good fruit as proof of your repentance. Produce good fruit, for at this very moment the axe is ready, and every tree that doesn't produce fruit will be chopped down." Produce good fruit. Simple enough, but let's look at that. What does it mean to produce good fruit? For a tree, it means that from all that the tree is, from all of the elements in the environment that the tree can take in, from the air and the water and the sun, the tree produces something from itself, but it's not meant to stay part of the tree. It's meant to be picked or meant to drop to the ground, so that thing that's produced from all that it is can give nourishment to the animals, the plants, to the environment around it. And not only that, the fruit of a tree isn't necessarily just for a season, but for a tree, the way a tree lives on is through its seeds that it plants, and other trees get planted around. And the more tasty and beautiful and nutritious the fruit, the more widely that fruit will be dispersed. And so fruit is part of the way that the tree experiences immortality or shares in immortality. For us, it's something of the same thing. From all of who we are, from the things that come around us, the environment that we brought in, been brought up in, the education that we have, and all the things that are inside us, the gifts that God gave us, we produce something which is nourishing for those around us. Nourishing for the community, the people, and even the whole world can be nourished by the fruit that comes from our lives. And for us too, when we produce fruit that's beautiful and tasty and nourishing for other people, well, that's a part of the way that we touch immortality as well. For those things that are loving and truthful and beautiful and good, those things that are the best fruit are the things that we carry with us even into eternity. They're the things that we take it with us even to heaven with God, if that's the path that we take. Some trees, we know, do not produce fruit. Some trees can be quite beautiful. Some trees can be quite shapely, but they don't produce any fruit. Why wouldn't they produce fruit? Well, for trees, it might just be the environment. I had an aunt who took a trip to the south about 40 years ago, and she dug up a magnolia tree that she liked. Most magnolia trees are shaped like this. Well, this is a magnolia tree that's shaped like this. It went straight up. It was beautiful. And she planted it in her backyard, but that magnolia tree never reproduced. She could never get it to grow, get another one to grow in her yard. And so it was pretty for the while that lasted, and then one day a storm came and it fell up, and that was that. It wasn't the right environment for that tree. Sometimes a tree won't produce fruit because there's something blocking it from taking nourishment through its roots. Sometimes it's a physical barrier. Sometimes it's something in the soil, a soil that's too much clay or whatever. It's like Christmas trees. You know when you get a Christmas tree, a fresh one, you have to cut the bottom of it off because if you don't, it's got that kind of sap that gets like a scab on the bottom of the tree. It's not able to take water up, and so even a Christmas tree isn't able to stay fresh and vibrant for very long unless it can draw water from its environment. Finally, sometimes the environment just doesn't produce enough nourishment, and so a tree needs to be fertilized. Well, we are like trees. Only the difference is that we have free will. And so all of us, I'm sure, bear fruit. There's not a single person in this room that's not bearing some fruit, that's not producing some good or giving some love. All of us, though, probably are called to do that better. And what would help that? Part of that might be the environment we're in. Part of it might be to reflect from time to time, is this the place where I can bloom? Am I in a career and a profession where I can bloom? Am I in a career and a place and a profession around, are the people around me, do the people, or the friends that I make and the friends that I choose to be with, do they provide an environment that I can produce fruit that's appreciated and that I can share? Sometimes we're not getting enough nourishment from our environment. And sometimes it's our own choices. We don't take things into our body, our mind, our heart, our soul that really feed us. But sort of the eternal junk food diet, both the spiritual junk food diet, the heart junk food diet, the physical junk food diet, and the intellectual junk food diet that we can get by on, but we don't get very nourished and it doesn't produce much fruit. Sometimes there's something blocking it so that we can't absorb the gifts around us. We can't see it. We can't let it in. And so for those times, we have to be so careful to try to open up the pathways. One of the cynicism, the idea that comes that nothing matters or no one's really good or no one's really loving and no one can be trusted, that's like a scab on the bottom of a Christmas tree that keeps us from drawing in what love, what goodness, what truth there is around us. We have to tend to that. But part of it too, a tree that doesn't produce fruit doesn't usually choose not to produce fruit, but sometimes we might. We can go get so wrapped up in just being a good trunk with good limbs and shiny leaves. We can get so caught up in body, fortune, or reputation, vanity, self-absorption, or pride. It's at those times that we're invited to prune away. Prune those things away. Cut them back so that what's really important about our lives, the fruit that we really want to bear and share, may have full nourishment, get its due attention, and be shared in proper time. And so, as I come dangerously close to overdoing a metaphor, let us in this Advent season repent. Let us invite the change into our lives that we know might be difficult, but also might be just the thing we need, that we might offer to the world beautiful, tasty, nourishing fruit. Let us prepare by finding the places and the environments in which we can bloom and burst forth with the best of who we are. Let us take in nourishing things to body, mind, heart, and soul. Let us be about the difficult task of pruning away what is excessively selfish, and let that energy go toward bearing fruit. And may that fruit come from the core of who you are. The core of who you are from all the gifts that God gave you and all the gifts that God has surrounded you with in your life. May that fruit come and grow, and may we find new and ever more beautiful and exciting ways to share it with others. That is the call of John the Baptist in this Advent season as we prepare for the coming of our Savior. Produce good fruit.